Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412. What have we been talking about?
Antichrist.
That sounds ugly, doesn't it? But what we've been doing is looking at the Antichrist in us, right? We're not looking at it or for it in other people, but we're identifying it in ourselves, because sometimes we can be operating in the spirit of Antichrist. It can be moving us. So we want to be aware, and we don't want to get into that. Let's look at this. What was the first one? A novice. A novice, I used to think, was an immature Christian or a new Christian, but a novice is really a transplant. You can be a mature Christian, or, you know, you can be an older Christian, a person who's been a believer for a long time, and still be a novice. The idea of the novice is where you've been transplanted to. In other words, you're in California and you came here, and the leadership that you held out there, I put you in that here. See, that's not good. You have to wait and monitor that person to see if their character is true to the call and everything before you put them in leadership. Because he says you become puffed up with pride if not. See, in other words, God used you out there, but if it comes here and everybody thinks this person, then pride can set in. That's why we got to be careful with ministry, because pride can set in. And pride is something we constantly have to battle, constantly. The spirit of Antichrist works through that pride real quick. And then we talked about fleshly. 1 Corinthians, it talks about, Paul said, I can't give you spiritual things. I have to keep giving you carnal and teaching you carnal things, because you can't receive the things of the spirit. And then being competitive. We don't, you know, people who are competitive, always trying to one-up somebody or trying to be, you know, in the spiritual realm. There's a spirit of Antichrist behind that. And then the sectarian groups. Remember, one said I was of Apollos, one said I was of Christ, and one said I was of Cephas, and then the other one said I'm of Paul. Really, no one started those groups. Those groups just evolved out of ignorance. People avoiding the truth, see? The truth says you have to change. And see, that's where the Antichrist comes in. Anti means to oppose, to challenge, to be against. So in other words, Antichrist. Christ is the word Christos, which means anointing. Against, oppose, to challenge, the anointing. And see, that's where everything that you're looking for comes out of you, is in that anointing that's in you. See, that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to develop that in you. And he does that through truth. And you receiving the truth and applying that to your life, and the change takes place. And he wants to create an environment where there's enough grace and time to allow that to take place. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. But nobody's going to be pointing their finger and judging you on that. We're here to extend grace. And see, that's the idea. In an atmosphere where that's extended and full of grace and full of truth, then you want to be there. You see that? You want to be there because nobody's judging you and pushing you to say, you got to change this. You got to see, it's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working in your life, and God extending grace to give you what truth demands. See, God's grace is sufficient. Where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. God's grace is sufficient for you. And if we understand God's grace and we extend that, that creates an environment where people can be healed and made whole and go on with their life. And we don't want to be judging or criticizing or condemning anybody. Doesn't matter if you're a homosexual. Doesn't matter if you're a drug addict. Doesn't matter if you're a prostitute. Doesn't matter if you've been in prison. Now watch this. Jesus was a homosexual on the cross. He became a homosexual on the cross. Jesus became a criminal on the cross. Jesus became an adulterer on the cross. What do you think about that? He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. He became every sin there is on the cross, that you don't have to continue in that. Oh, come on. And so that's the idea. If we're full of grace and full of truth, he can empower you to be free and to become all that God created you to be. The sin issue's dealt with. Now we have to just follow him and get the truth on the matter. And we can do that. That's what the body of Christ is. And that's what we want to do. We want to be a place where people can come and receive help and really walk out the life that God created them for. And that's what we're trying to do, get out the Antichrist. Because we've all operated in that at times. Okay, so sectarian groups, self-commending, we promote ourselves. You know, that's a prideful thing. You want somebody that always has to promote themselves, you need to, red flags ought to go up. Undue preoccupation with trivia. You know, they know more than you know, and they want you to know that you know they know more than you know, and they're always going to tell you what they know, but really they don't know anything. That's the truth. All right. Ear ticklers. We talked about that last week. And remember because they have itching ears, they turn their ears away from the truth, right? And turn aside to what? Fables. That's why Paul commissioned Timothy and admonished Timothy. He said, I charge you before God, in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you before God. Remember, the word charge is the word, it's a military word. And he's saying, strict orders. I'm giving you strict orders before God. Remember the word before. It literally means presence and in eyesight. So we are in the presence of God and we are in the eyesight of God. And I told you, that really brings the fear of God in me to stand up here and preach God's word and minister that, because he is watching everything and we're in his presence. That's a good place to be, though. Amen? So that's the idea. We want to keep that environment of his presence here. And we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what grieves the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, only that which edifies and that which extends grace to the hearers. So the idea is, you can't be talking negative about anybody, because you know why? If you do, you grieve in the Holy Spirit. Speaking of wickedness, any of that coming out of your mouth. The word grieve, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what that word grieve meant in the Greek culture? It had one meaning. When a husband caught his wife having sex with another man, it deeply, deeply grieved him. And the Holy Spirit saying, that's what happens to me when you start speaking negative and judging and criticizing other people. And he'll recede and he won't move in a place where that's taking place. That's why you always hear me bringing this up. Because, folks, there's enough in the world coming against us. There's enough negativity coming down on us, right? Edify. That's what we're to be doing. Doesn't mean we're putting things under the rug. Hey, we're going to stay in this process, right? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressingly says, verse 1, that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, he says, now the Spirit expressingly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. So now's when? Right now, right? That's happening now, right? Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit expressingly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. The word expressingly means to what? To clarify and to make clear for understanding. To clarify and to make clear for understanding. So that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's clarifying some things and he's helping you to understand what's really going on. If you are listening and receiving what the Spirit is saying. You see that? Now the Spirit expressly says. Here's what he says. In latter times, that's the times we're in, some will depart from the faith. Remember, the word depart is a sailor's term. And it was when the sailors would have their anchor down and they would say, it's time to depart. And they would pull up their anchor and they would set sail. So the idea is they're departing from the faith. They were anchored in the faith at one time, but now, because of these deceiving spirits, they're taking up what they were anchored in and they're departing from the faith. See, the faith is the revealed word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. It's the revealed word of God. That's what people, they want to skirt around, because the truth says you have to change. And so the idea is, that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to get the truth in you. Sanctify them with your truth. John 17, for your word is truth. You see? And where that is really going forth, see, that's where people will come and, oh, that was a good message. Oh, that was awesome. And you don't see them. They don't come back. See, they're not ready, because they're going to end up in an antichrist spirit or following one, because they don't want the truth to do its work in them. And see, that's what God is always trying to do. He's trying to get the truth to you. So now, we're going to look at this. What's he say here? Now the Spirit expressly says, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies of hypocrisy. So they speak lies. So the Holy Spirit is always trying to get the truth to you. Now, go hold your place there, and we're going to go to John 14, but don't lose 1 Timothy 4. And let's look at verse 16. This is Jesus. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for who? Forever. The Spirit of what? Truth. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He's not going to leave you as an orphan. He's going to make sure that he takes care of you. But here's what happens. We start to go through something. We want to bow out. We want to bail because it gets painful. That's why he says, I'm praying that the Father, he will give you another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the word parakletos, and he's called the helper. He's called the comforter. He's called the counselor. He's called the standby. In other words, I'm giving you someone who's going to help you, someone who's going to comfort you, and somebody who's going to stand by you no matter what you go through. That's what he's given to you. And he's going to bring the truth to you. You see that? The Spirit of truth. He's going to bring the truth to you. He's going to let you see who you really are and what he has called and created you for. He says, the helper, another helper, counselor, comforter. I'll tell you what, I go to a therapist. Yeah, I get counseling. I want to make sure I'm healthy for you all, you know? I do. I go to a therapist. I mean, I'm talking to a lot of you folks throughout the week. So I need me a therapist. No. No. But the idea is I want to maintain, you know, spiritual health. And you got to bounce. You got to have a place where you can really lay it out there. You know what I mean? One day I was in my therapy session. And, you know, I looked at my therapist and she's taking notes. You know what? I saw she always takes notes. And one day she just broke down and started telling me everything about her life. From her childhood all the way up. And you know, and she's asking me, she goes, you know, what you come in there and share with me, she goes, you don't have any clue how much it helps me. But you know what I'm sharing with her? What he says. And she told me everything. You know what she said that day? She says, I'm not charging you. I said, oh, thanks. I said, pay up. But do you understand? That was the Holy Spirit working in there. And you know what? We all need a counselor sometime, but I'll tell you what, you got the best one right inside of you. If you'll spend time with him, you see that? Helper, counselor, comforter, he's in there. But when we go through difficult times, we want to skirt around that. Now look at this. Go with me to John 16 real quick. We're going to look at verse 13. However, when the Spirit of what? truth has come, he will guide you into what? That's his objective. That's his goal, is to get you to the truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And here's how you can know if it's really the Holy Spirit. Right there is the next line. He will glorify me. He will always glorify Jesus. If it doesn't glorify Jesus, you can know this isn't the Holy Spirit. But now look, he will not speak on his own authority. He only speaks what he hears. You see, if you're not giving him anything to work with, he's not going to be able to speak to you when you need it the most. That's why it's important to come to places like this and hear the Word of God. You're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with inside of you, and he'll have authority. Now watch this. The Antichrist works through lawlessness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, it says, the coming of the lawless one is the working of Satan with all lying and signs and wonders among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to get the truth to you to really bring salvation. Yeah, you got saved when you repented, but there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done within you. Am I making sense? And so that's what happens. The coming of the lawless one means willful disobedience to the authority of God. You see, when you don't want to hear the Holy Spirit and what the Word of God was dropped in, then you're actually willfully disobeying what God has said and trying to get you to. And that's working with the spirit of the Antichrist. Am I making sense? And so that's the idea. That's why it's painful. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Yeah, it's not easy, but it's the best thing. Now look here. He says he will guide you. That word guide also means tour. He's a tour guide. He's already been there. He's already been where he's trying to take you. He knows what's best for you. You see, he's just trying to get you to a healthy place. He's a tour guide. Now, hold on. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As you see that? For as many as are led by the capital S, Holy Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The word sons speaks of maturity. Speaks of maturity. You don't give your child your keys to your car. You give your keys to your car to your son, right? It speaks of maturity. In other words, those who are being led by the Spirit, they're actually starting to mature in the things of God. Now he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Remember, he said he won't leave you as orphans. He won't leave you as orphans. He's adopted you. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16. For the Spirit, capital S, himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. With who? Christ. Or does it say Jesus? With Christ. See, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. You see, Christ is in you. You see, that's the anointing. And that's what he's trying to develop. Now look at this. Okay, with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now watch this. For I consider, remember the word consider? I know I'm always breaking words down, but it means to exercise the mind in order to understand. In other words, I'm going to consider these things. I'm going to exercise my mind. I really am going to put some conscious effort into understanding what is going on. What? That the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings, what you're going through, it's tough. It can be tough. But he says, I want you to really get some understanding and really put your mind in this. Why are you going through this? Because a lot of times what you're going through, God is trying to get you to another place. Not to get you to leave or to run or to go do your own thing or get caught up in some different group. But he's trying to get something out of you and show you the truth. Right? Because he's guiding you into the truth. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, what we're going through doesn't even compare to what he has for you, and he wants to reveal. The word reveal means to uncover. He wants to uncover the things in you that he has for you.
The glory. And remember the glory? What's glory? What God originated and intended. See, that's what he's trying to get you. He's trying to get what he originated and intended out of you. But it's going to be painful. But what you go through doesn't even compare to what he has for you on the other side. Did you get that? It doesn't even compare. You can't even, you'll forget about it. This is too good. Well, I can't even believe I even considered that other thing. Because now I got what I'm after. I remember when I was 9 years old, my grandpa, he was my step-grandfather, he said, I'm going to take you fishing up in Canada, Port Francis. And this area of Canada is on, part of it's in Minnesota and part of it's in Canada. And this Lake Cabotogama was the lake we would go to. And up there, everything, I mean, you get out on that lake and it's like all rock. And everything looks the same. So you better know where you're going when you get out on these waters because you would get lost. I mean, it's real easy to get lost up there. It's like a 2-day trip up there. It's a long ways. So all the way up there, he's saying, you know, you call me Freddie, it's different up there. Because you're gonna catch fish like you've never caught before. This isn't like, he used to take me to Indian Lake. This isn't like going to Indian Lake and fishing like we used to fish, like we do there. This is going to be different. So I'm thinking, you know, he's probably exaggerating a little bit. Or it's not going to be all that. So we get up there, and we had to go it took a long time just to get back to the cabin. And we had to buy all this stuff to take back there because you couldn't get anything once you got back there. And once you got back there, you didn't want to come out because it was a long ways to come back out. So we got back there, because planes would come in and land and go fishing. And so, and get guides. And that's the thing, what I'm trying to show you is we had to have a guide. And so every time we go out, we had to have a guide with us because you can get lost. So he's in the boat with us, and he takes us, and we're going. And we go out, and we get around these rocks, and we're driving. And we go back into this cove, and there's these lily pads. And he says, young man, I want you to put your lure right over there. It was a Bassarino, red and white, with green eyes, balsa wood lure, I remember. I remember opening the package. I had it on there. And so I casted, you know, over to those lily pads. Nothing. Start immediately my mind, okay, Grandpa. You know, here we go. Because, you know, I thought lures, because we never use lures in Indian Lake. We always use worms or minnows. So now I'm using a lure. This thing ain't okay. It's nothing. So I casted it again, second time. It didn't even hit the water. This fish, come up out of there. God is my witness. I am not kidding you. Came up out of the water and bit that lure. And I tell you what, it was an 8-pound northern pike. And I tell you what, I was so excited. I had that thing on there and I about went to the bathroom on myself. I was so happy. But here's my point. If we wouldn't have had that guide, we caught fish all day long. Everywhere we went. If we wouldn't have had him, we wouldn't have caught fish like that. Because he had taken us to places where he knew we would catch them. See, he had been there before. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives. He's trying to get you to a place to get you what you long for, and you're going to get excited about it. Am I telling you the truth? I'm telling you the truth. Did you get that? And that's the way it is. That's how it is. But he's always trying to get the truth. But you see, we keep skirting it. We keep trying to go around it because here's what happens. We want to feel something. Well, I don't feel no goosebumps anymore. We want to feel something. And, you know, there's times in our life where it's just, we're not feeling it. We just go and we're hearing the Bible taught and word, and it just seems like nothing happening, but things are happening still. See, he's given you something. If you keep hearing that, you'll have authority, and he'll have authority in you. You see that? But that's what we have to keep maintaining, and don't give up and don't quit. You keep connected and you keep going and keep hearing the truth. You see that? Because he's trying to get you to a place in your life to show you who you really are and what he has for you. We making sense? Now, let's look at this. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Deceiving spirits, little s, all kinds of spirits ride on words. You better watch who you listen to. They hang out on words.
deceiving spirits and doctrines, teachings of demons. Literally, demons are teaching you. They teach you stuff through the media. They teach you stuff through people. They teach you stuff all the time. They're always teaching you something. That's why you have to be aware of what you're hearing and what you're receiving. You see that? Now watch this. Speaking lies of hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That idea of being seared with a hot iron, that literally means to be seared with a mark of another kind. In other words, your conscience has now been marked with something that's not from God. That's what's going on. Your conscience is, when that happens and you start listening to those lies, it's marking your conscience. You see that? With something of another kind. It's not from God. Now get a hold of this. Forbidding, verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now look at this. Forbidding to marry. How many times do you hear, well, you know, we don't have to get married. Let's just live together. When you put your body and the Holy Spirit is in there and you put your body in that kind of an environment, you are calling demons to come in and speak to you. And you're going to listen because you are bringing them in. That's why sex outside of marriage, I'm going to tell you, it'll destroy your life. That's why you never feel good about it. Don't tell me you do. You don't. Because God didn't create you that way. God's created you to do it His way. And that's where the protection is. And that's where the truth is. Am I making sense? All right. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain. So these ear ticklers, these deceivers, seducers, they can get caught up in certain diets. And they say, you know, you should only eat this. You should only always, you know, they're so fixated on what they're eating, and they want to put all this emphasis on that and not really what God is saying. You see that? And it has a seducing and a deceiving spirit behind it. So the idea is, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for this is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. See, He desires you to come to that knowledge of the truth. You have to be purposeful of going after the truth. You see that? Of going after the truth. And as you are purposeful in that, you are going to tap into some things about you that, hey, I never knew this. Because you know what? If not, you're going to act like just like your dad or just like your mom or just like grandpa or just like grandma. You're going to follow those patterns when God is trying to develop you as an individual. He's got something for you. And that's the truth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see that? Colossians 1:27. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointing in you is the hope of the glory. It's the glory is what God originated and intended in you. That's what's in you. Am I making sense? You look excited. Well, that's where it is, folks. And that's what we got to get a hold of. That's what we got, and not run from it. Because when we will be willing to accept it and pursue it, then it begins to work in our life. And now we're yielding to it, you see? And now we're not anti it. We're come on with it, you know? It's painful. I know I have to change, but hey, He's given me the power to do it. He's given me a comforter. He's given me a helper. He's given me a counselor. He's standing by me. We can do this.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Row Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.